Welcome to Sports Day here on this Thursday. Great to have your company. So much to talk about tonight. So many great guests coming your way. We've got Riley O'Brien who's going to join us. Tony Pignata from our Perth Glory. But straight off the top, the hot topic for expert car air conditioning service you can rely on. You visit repcoservice.com. The AFL season just around the corner. It's been in big discussion on this program all of this week. And Steve Hocking joins us here on the program. Welcome, Steve. How are you going?
Yeah, well, thanks, Carl and Paul. Great to be on. Thank you.
Now, how are negotiations going with our state government on crowds? Because it's been something that I've been really strong on. I want us to have a full house come March 21. I'd actually like to see a full house on March 7 when West Coast take on Freo now in the rescheduled derby. How are negotiations going there, mate, and what do you know?
Look, what I can say is it's really pleasing to actually have the derby, as you say, March 7th at Optus Stadium. To see football back there with the Eagles playing Freo, so really pleased about that. We're working closely with the state government there behind the scenes, and the really good thing, that the major call out, is the work that's going on by Trevor Nisbet and also Simon Garlick. They've come together, and along with the AFL, there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes to try and get all of your listeners, supporters and members, particularly members, back to footy right across all the states. That is something that's a priority for us, and we recognise the commitment from them through 2020, and we certainly want them back at the games.
So 24 days away from the real stuff kicking off, we still don't know the answer. And I know it's got to be a flexible scenario if there was a case of COVID-19 transmission in our community, mate. But we've had one here in almost 12 months. And if there was one at the footy, like there would be one at a hotel breakout, well, the whole state locks down anyway. So what's the difference between having 32,000 fans at a footy match and 60,000 people there?
Look, Carl, it's a reasonable question, but the important thing is this country's done an unbelievable job. Like, that's we're all fortunate, I think, that we're able to live reasonably normal lives, and certainly we've come in and out of different phases, we're just going to keep step with the state governments. One of the challenges, I think, in your instance is the fact that there's obviously an election going on, and so that's part of it. But we'll stay close to the clubs. We'll stay close to the state governments, and if we can get a full complement of supporters, members back to off the stadium, that would be a great outcome.
Righto, you're on the rules committee, I think, aren't you? Yes. Yes.
Yes, I hope so.
I've been watching the statue on the mark. I personally don't like it. My co-host, who I'm looking across the desk at, doesn't mind it. He reckons it might work. I said I'm not convinced. I'm prepared to give it a go. But the backlash that has been coming forward from the public has been a little bit against it. What was yours, and if you can take us inside that rules committee meeting, what was yours and the committee's idea here of doing what you've done?
Yeah, so look, having watched a lot of football through last year, and probably one of the advantages I think was every night getting to games. Now, I was inside a hub within Queensland, and so attended a lot of games, night by night. The thing that was noticeable was just the amount of delay and pressure that player on the mark is able to implement. And then what happens off that is there's also then all the fallback that goes on ahead of the ball. And the reason why that delay and pressure is applied by the player on the mark is to enable the setup of defence ahead of the ball. And so at times you had players taking anywhere between 5 to 10 metres off an attacking player. Our aim with this is to try and just introduce some a better balance between attack and defence. And we're all talking about standing the mark in isolation. The other things that we've done, Carl, is we've returned the game to 20-minute quarters. We've decreased rotations from 90 down to 75. We've moved the player on the mark for kick-ins from 10 metres out to 15 metres. All of these four things are to work together and just provide a better balance in attack and defence, and a bit more space in the game. That is the ultimate aim here.
Steve, I'm all in favour. I reckon it will work. What are you seeing from the first three practice games? We saw a high-scoring game today with 22 goals, 8 kicked by St Kilda. Yesterday, Hawthorn and Western Bulldogs had 22 shots apiece, and Carlton, well, they got to 95 points, 14 goals, 11. What have you seen from the first three games?
Well, look, the first thing I would acknowledge, Paul, is the fact that it is February. There was an old saying that used to kick around: March champions, April fools. So let's not get too far ahead of ourselves on it. And the other part is, it's a small sample size. But what we have seen so far is we've seen an average of 26 goals per game kicked. Now, as you've acknowledged there, a fair few Saints supporters would be happy that it was so many for St Kilda. But an average of 26. The Hawthorn Bulldogs game, there was 44 shots on goal, as you've highlighted. What we have seen is we've definitely seen more run from behind. We've seen it much harder for teams to set up defence ahead of the ball. And so I was really taken back yesterday by how many contested marks one-on-one were taken inside the forward 50 arcs. And that was really pleasing to see. And just the changing lanes, like back inside the corridor, and players just willing to take the game on. It's like they know they've been given a license to actually take the game on and move the ball quickly. Now, we'll see different phases over the coming weeks. We'll see it going into the season. You know, it's the first time that coaches and their analysts have got any vision to work with. And what they'll do, we know this, they'll innovate. And they'll strategize around how to beat this. But again, understanding there's rotations as part of this. The other one I want to call out is just the kick-ins, Paul. Is that's the one I've been really surprised to see. What we've done is the player on the mark would normally stand 10 metres out. It's now out to 15. We've also removed the umpire and pushed them off to the side so that the corridor is actually more open to the player. We actually had a lot of busyness around the top of that mark in past seasons, so we've actually made that adjustment as far as umpires, where they stand, to officiate on that. And I've already seen the ball travel much further into play off the back of that. You know, I've seen a short kick. I've then seen the player that's kicked it in actually run past that player and receive it and take it much further. I've seen players play on and actually bounce the ball out directly in alignment ahead of the goal square. So, you know, to your listeners who haven't been able to see that, that's what we're seeing. But again, it's late Feb.
Steve, can you stay with us after the break?
No worries.
Welcome back to Sports Day. We continue our chat with Steve Hocking. Now, Steve, I know Champion Data would have been having a good look. Have you seen an increase in inside 50s and also one-on-one contests?
Yeah, we need to do that work, Paul, and that's what we'll do over the coming days. We just need a bit more of a sample size. Coming out of the weekend, we'll certainly dig a lot deeper. There's a lot of interest with footy returning. I've never seen so many commentators and media people attend a practice match. It's been quite extraordinary, the level of interest.
It seems to me you're just restoring the game back to what it was. If you look back into the 90s, you talk about rotations, there wasn't more, you're reducing them. The 666 is designed to have the same starting positions as back in those days. The manning of the mark, I can swear when I first started, the manning of the mark was just basically manning the mark. You just basically stood there and you might go a little bit side to side, but you certainly weren't guarding space like they have been over the last few years. And even the kick-ins too, because when I started, there was a 12-man zone, then it went to a 15-man zone, then it went to an 18-man zone. So you're just trying to take it back, in my opinion, to where it was. Would that be correct?
Paul, I think it's really good acknowledgement absolutely. We're trying to get a better balance between attack and defence. And I think that most of the supporters, members want to see that. What we've got to be careful of is that you don't pull the levers too far so it becomes a one-sided contest. You know, one of the things that's been really pleasing about the competition, from sort of 18, to the top of the ladder, there's always a day where they can beat their opposition. And so that's what we've been mindful of. But no doubt what we are trying to do here is pull some levers back where there's just a bit better balance in all of that, but not overplaying that so that, from my point of view, what I want to see for all the supporters is to show up to the game. The game is more open. There's actually more random play. It's less predictable so that we don't have these defensive systems and structures that actually own the game and we swing too far that way. And when the supporters do show up, they're not quite sure why that's happened, but it's actually happened. And I think that's the best form of decision making. It's not about myself or the competition committee or my team overpowering it. It's actually making sure that the decisions are right and caring for the game because we're custodians of it. And making sure we get a really good balance between attack and defence.
I've said this to you before, and I'm not going to shy away from it. I want to see rotations back to zero. I want to see the best players stay on the ground, like when you played for Geelong. And I want to see the players that come off the ground only come off the ground because they're playing like crap. That's what I want to see. I also would like to see, and I've said this to you before, that if a bloke goes to ground, a little bit like in rugby union, if you go to ground, you've got to release the ball, and you can't take possession of the ball unless you're standing on your feet. Now, by that way, the ball is always in motion. You don't get the stoppages. If you take possession of the ball with prior opportunity, you handball to a bloke who's in confined space without prior opportunity and they get caught, well, so be it. That's holding the ball. But at the moment, we've got all this congested play and it's not necessarily going to open that up that much. But those couple of little movements to the game would actually, I think, clear out a lot of the issues that you got when it comes to a few of the changes you've made recently.
Carla, look, just to acknowledge what you're saying there, so the rotations piece, what we've got to be careful of is, as I said earlier, you've got to be careful not to pull the levers too far back and too quickly because, you know, we've gone up for a period of time and, you know, quite clearly what we've done is we've actually brought it back. Now, it's... Now, people would say, well, you know, it's 90 down to 75. That's deliberate because it gives the system the opportunity to adjust without pulling it, too far back. Your comment around, players not being able to take possession of the ball, it's actually, that's a rule that's in Gaelic football. You're actually not allowed to pick the ball up whilst you're on the ground. Now, again, that would be a significant change to the game. I think what we need to do is, you know, we've clearly pieced together 666 from a couple of years ago. It really didn't get the opportunity to be realised last year because we made adjustments to the game last year. You know, we reduced quarter lengths, we kept rotations the same. What we saw going to regular matches was all of that extra energy was put towards defence. All of it. There was none of it that was sent to attack. It is, Paul, you would understand this, and Carl, you understand this. It is easier to teach defence versus teaching forward craft. Now, what we're trying to do with, you know, those four changes we've made is just to peel those defensive layers back a little bit, just the delay and the pressure in the game. Just wind it back a fraction, not wind it too far.
Are you under pressure from broadcasters? Because obviously when there's more goals, there's more breaks, there's more times for commercial, there's more room to move. And obviously broadcast partners are so important for the game.
There's a lot of eyeballs for a lot of sports, and you know what we've always had, I think, is a really entertaining game, and it's important we maintain that. And you know, part of that's evolution. And people say, you know, don't touch the game; it'll sort itself out. What we've seen over recent years is there's this real tendency to head further towards defence, and so all we're doing is just sliding it back just slightly, as I said, just pulling those defensive layers out of it, and that's delay and pressure. And we think that these four adjustments, play to that.
Couple more quick ones before you let you go. How many free kicks have been played in the first three games that you've noticed? And would you be looking at any stage, if it does get out of control, to reduce it from 50 metres to 25 metres if there's a big uproar?
Well, we'll start at the back end. The 50 metres, that's part of the laws of the game. It's applied consistently across the game. So, no, we wouldn't look to pull it back. And then in answer to the first part of the question, Paul, I think there's been so far across three games two to three 50-metre penalties that have been paid around this particular. Most of it, the one in the Bulldogs and Hawks game yesterday was actually a protected area one. So, yeah, only a couple of instances. And look, the call-out I would acknowledge in this is that the umpires have done 320 visits so far to clubs. When I first started in this role, 3.5 years ago, pre-season went for twice as long and there was only 50 visits from umpires. You know, it's a shorter pre-season now. There's 320. It'll be up to 500 by the time, you know, the first ball was bounced in the first game at the MCG. And that's a credit to all the clubs and all the umpires. It's part of their pre-season now to work with the clubs and be in alignment with those clubs. So, coaches, players and umpires have all got a responsibility around these changes to bring them to life.
Do you feel sorry for the umpires? Because they're the ones that are going to wear the brunt of this. They're the ones that are going to get booed and hissed at, aren't they, on match day?
Well, Carl, we've done a lot of work with the umpires. I've been to those sessions. You know, the pleasing thing is we've got a really good relationship with them. It's open dialogue. You know, I encourage the debate. I encourage some of the conflict around this and discussion required for it, and it's actually healthy. Number one, it's passion from the supporters, which we embrace and love. That's what's great about our game. And as far as the umpires go, yes, it's a tough job. Everyone acknowledges that, but they are working closely with the clubs, and there's a responsibility that lies here with the players to get this right.
All right, I'm not convinced, but I'm prepared to give it a go. Unless you give something a go, you never know. I hope it works, and I hope that the game is better, and I hope it achieves what you are looking forward to as its outcomes. Thank you very much for talking to us tonight here on Sports Day. Take care, and we'll open up the lines and see what the fans have to say.
Thanks, Carl. Thanks, Paul.
Good on you. Steve Hocking here on Sports Day. You'll be blown away with car air conditioning service at Repco Authorised Service. You can book at repcoservice.com. Our number is 922 11882.